Hey, Wouter hier. Na de zomer ga ik op tour met een nieuwe show en die show heet Met Blokjes. Vanaf eind september speel ik hem ruim 50 keer door het hele land, dus ik hoop je ergens te zien. Ga naar woutermonde.nl, check de speellijst en koop alvast je kaartjes voor Met Blokjes. Joe!
And it's crazy. And I see a guy using his phone once, and I was like, "Yeah, bro." I said to him, "I understand, bro. Your girl chose the worst time to piss you off, because I can tell you're pissed off." Because he was in his phone texting like this. I was like, "Yo, I know she waited. It was a bad time for her to piss you off, but it's okay. you can step outside."
Hi, welcome to the Electra Podcast. My name is Wouter Monden. I am a comedian from the Netherlands, and in this podcast, I talk to my fellow comedians about their worst and weirdest gigs. Usually, my guests are from Holland or Belgium, but in this episode, I'll be talking with Dale Elliott Jr. Dale is a Jamaican-born actor, content creator, and comedian, and you might have seen him in the award-winning Netflix film Sprinter. Dale got big on social media, but he is getting bigger and bigger as a stand-up comedian as well, touring in the US, the UK and Canada. And this year, 2025, he is going on his first world tour, and he'll be visiting Holland and Belgium as well, doing shows in Amsterdam, Rotterdam and Brussels. You'll find a link to get your tickets to these shows in the description of this episode. I'll also include some links to previous English episodes I've done before with guests such as Glenn Wool and Russell Howard. Please enjoy. This is the Electra Podcast with Dale Elliott Jr. This podcast is entirely about hell gigs and shows that have gone wrong, which doesn't imply at all you're a bad comedian. You're on because you're a great comedian. And we're going to have a laugh about all the stuff that's gone wrong.
Yes, and trust me, things can go wrong.
Because you have, your career has been phenomenal. You only started doing comedy in 2019, 2020, something like that?
No, so I've always been doing social media comedy, but stand-up comedy, I started stand-up comedy in December 2022.
2022?
Yeah, stand-up
comedy.
You've
only been doing it 2.5 years. Oh, wow.
But it's been a journey, trust me.
Yeah. I'm, what was it like? Because when you started out, you had a big following on social media already. Yeah. I guess in some shows, you know, people will come for you and be excited to go, "Oh my God, this is Dale. We're going to see him live."
Yeah.
But then there's bound to be some shows where people go, "We don't know this
guy. Who's this guy? Exactly. Who's this guy? Why is he here?" And that are the shows when I really have to try, you know, when I have to create a connection with the crowd that don't know me. Because in stand-up comedy, when you go into stand-up comedy with a following already, you really have like 5 minutes of "Hey, oh, we're so happy to see you," and then after that, it's like, "Okay, make me laugh."
Do you remember shows? Do you remember shows maybe in the beginning where that happened, or were you prepared for that to happen, to have those 5 minutes and then the audience going, "And now deliver on the promise you made"?
I feel like I was just thrown into the crowd. So my first show that I did, I put it on. So when I went out there, I had like in my mind, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this." But when you go out there and in comedy, you can have a set schedule of how you're going to do stuff. And if you don't get that like laugh that you was expecting, you can like forget about like everything that you were going to do. Just like that one thing that threw you off completely. I know you have to be like, every comedian has that like moment of like dead silence. And now you're like looking around like, "Oh, I need to say something like right now. This is gonna go left if I don't say the right thing right now." Or one of the biggest things was saying something that should be a joke and then somebody take offense to it. So like if you're expecting a laugh, but instead they hear like, oh.
Oh yeah.
No, you're like, oh, so that was too far.
Do you remember things or jokes you said where crowds reacted like that?
So I remember saying the word retarded on stage, and the people were like, oh, he said retarded.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, let me explain something to you. Hey, not like that. In my culture, in Jamaica, we would say words like, we would say things like, hey boy, I handicap. Or, you know, like, just like, you're a fool. No, saying you're a fool doesn't mean like you're a fool. We're just like, that's just how we talk.
Mm-hmm.
But some words have more meanings, like more serious meanings than others. So it's like, yo, you have to be very mindful of like the things you say.
Exactly. And so, mm-hmm. So did they just go quiet, or did they, you know, did they speak out
So they went quiet, but the way I do comedy is I like to, because I'm an immigrant, so I named the tour Son of an Immigrant. So my whole act is me describing cultures that I've experienced outside of Jamaica, and me becoming an adult, understanding that what is acceptable is different, or what is everywhere is culturally different. And, yeah. You know, people can take offense to certain things, or you just have to have the intelligence and the emotional intelligence to, one, understand people, understand what you should do, what you shouldn't do. So because it's a part of the act, it's not, you know, it's my explanations. When I realize that, I'm like, okay, no, I am approaching this from a standpoint of, I've never seen this before. This is new to me. And this is what I thought would happen. This is what happens. And this is how I maneuver the situation. So it's been a good journey. Thankfully, I've never had a show where it's normally, as a comedian, you feel like, because you've done multiple shows, you start ranking the best show, the worst one. Some of the times your worst show is in your mind. It's like, yeah. you come off, you hear the laughs, and, you know, people is like laughing and find it funny. But for you, you're so used to it. It's like, if you've delivered a joke four times, and the four times it's like this, and then you deliver that same joke and it's like 50% of that load, you're going to leave like, oh, I did something wrong, or is it that I'm not funny? No, you start questioning yourself. You start wondering, oh, what did I do wrong? Or how do I prevent that from happening? So it's realizing, being a traveled comedian, you start realizing that every single room is different, and some rooms give you more.
Oh,
some rooms give, some rooms take, and some rooms give you the energy that you give them. So if you walk out happy and fast and quick and witty, they're going to be like that with you. But if you don't, if you walk out like, oh, I'm cool and I'm quiet, the crowd is going to be like, well, this is your mood, I'm giving it back to you.
Exactly. But that something, because I've seen your stuff, you are very energetic on stage. And it's a very positive vibe. But every now and again, at least that's my experience, if you come off too energetic for a crowd that's maybe not as energetic, they'll go like, oh, this is too much. No, but this is, you exactly. Do you, but we're going to sit back and just listen and not laugh. Has that happened to you as well?
It's. I think it's like reading the room. So if it's a crowd that's unfamiliar with me, I don't come out like that. You know, if a crowd that's unfamiliar with me, I come up with a plan of like a script. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the shows that I have on YouTube is like my shows. That's, you know, everybody's coming there to see me. Say I'm opening up or doing a spot somewhere for the first time, testing out material. You know, it's easy. You go up, you introduce yourself, you let them know your personality, and then you continue. And then maybe, you know, 5-6 minutes in, after, you know, you've done all the introductions, you tell about yourself, you ask the people and you talk to the people, and then you can be like that, moving. But you have to like read the room, because say, for instance, the crowd, say you are, some comedians are like chill, laid back, get this sit, and they can just make people laugh and they tell different types of jokes. Now, a lot of the times those comedians' energy level is not high. If you walk out into a crowd with a high energy level and then you decide to give that kind of comedy, that might not work well for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the crowd is like a up crowd, and then you come and then you are more laid back. So that can affect. But it's all about how you maneuver the room. I believe it's whatever room you're in.
That is.
You need to make sure that room, you own it. That is why comedy clubs are so important. Smaller rooms help you a lot. Because when you go into bigger rooms, you start thinking about things different. Like, now you think, oh, the laughs are different. Because now it's coming, if you're in a theater, it's coming from afar. Mm. And you, when you're in a theater, you might be focused on the people that are right in front of you. And what if the people that are in front of you aren't really expressive with their laughing, but the people at the back are dying of laughter? You might leave feeling as if you did not do well, when the people at the back are like, yo, this was a great show and I love it and I laugh. But just because there were two rows in front of you, the people that bought like some VIP seats or some special seats, they're the ones that are like, oh, well,
Worse. You've probably had it as well, because I had it. Every comedian has had it. Yeah. Just the one guy in the front row sitting with his arms crossed, looking angry. And you,
but no, are like,
you can't look anywhere else except towards that.
And it's like, I feel like I am performing for that guy. No, no. All I want to do is make this guy laugh. And then what makes it worse, if you start trying to speak to this guy and then he gives you nothing. Oh, gosh. You're like, oh so what's your name? What do you work? Mechanic. What do you do? Nothing. Who's people are? Oh, Lord.
There should be a fine or even people thrown out of clubs for saying nothing, or as it's least like, as possible.
It's like,
if you,
it's
what do like, you do for a living? Nothing.
It's like you're giving me nothing to work with, you know? And then hecklers. You ever had deal with hecklers before?
Yeah, sure. Not. It's not very common in Holland or Belgium. Of course, you will get heckled every now and again, but it's not like in the UK, where I feel that some audience members are more prone to shout out stuff or even go out thinking, I'm going to heckle this guy. But yeah, of course, it happens.
It happens because, like, for me, so I live in the US, right? And I post a lot of clips from my stand-up and it goes viral a lot of times. So you would have people coming to the shows and they've seen like multiple viral clips with me and responding to people in the crowd and stuff. So you would have people that come to the show just to heckle so that they can end up in like one of them viral clips or a conversation.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
Heckling is, but I feel like heckling is sometimes a part of comedy, because to be honest, as a comedian, this has to have happened to you before. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody has heckled you right in time before? It's like you don't remember what you're going to do next, but this heckler saved the day. So now you're like, let me focus on you a little bit. Until I remember the joke that I was about to tell. So I'm like, you actually saved me right now, because now I can focus on you for like 4 minutes and remember what I need to talk about. So they are very important.
Oh, yeah. I've not had it that specific, but that's a great save. I have had it where someone in the crowd responds to a question, and it's so funny that you just have to go, okay, this is well done. Great point. You won. This is mm-hmm. for you. Yeah, no, I was wondering, what if people shouted out at you or heckled you, or that was what I was thinking about. Do you notice a difference in people like spontaneous hecklers or people that just react spontaneously and the people mm-hmm. that actually go out thinking, I'm going to do my best to be mm-hmm. in a Dale Elliott video?
Some of the times I don't feel like I don't think they're doing it on purpose. I feel like, you know, when people drink alcohol and they're having a good night, and some of the times you're being heckled because you're just doing well. And they're enjoying that conversation. So like, you can have, say you're doing 10 minutes, and in that whole 10 minutes, you're there with the heckler, and everybody is enjoying the conversation between you and this heckler because you're like fast and you're quick and they're saying something. And even though it takes time or you don't get to take out your material, I think that is what a lot of comedians, I would say, like, don't like. Because some of the times I've seen shows where hecklers save shows. Like, the heckler is in the back saying some funny stuff and the comedian has to, like, no, focus on the heckler. I mean, it takes away from the material, but it helps because... And then on the other hand, a heckler can say something and you forget your material completely. Like, to me, one of the... Like, outside of a heckler, have you ever been, like, a comedy club and they're serving alcohol the same time when you're performing? Like, they're walking around, servers taking drinks, sure. and people are like paying their bills, like somebody's like using their phone. That messes with my brain more than a heckler. Like, watching a server walk around a room to me is worse mentally than a heckler to me, because I'm like, yo, everybody's distracted. I feel like everybody's walking around and doing their own thing. Like, don't you guys see me here? And so that is what I worry about more than a heckler.
And have you ever stepped into the trap of trying to engage with a server? Because I know I've made that mistake, or where someone passing drinks, because usually that's just in our heads as comedians, because the crowd thinks, oh, there's just a server walking through my line of sight, but that's fine. He's gonna be gone in 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And then we end up like saying something. I remember I was doing a show once, and like there's this guy and he was like inquiring about something on a bill. And it was there for a while. So I was like, yo, it's $5 extra. Can you just come on, let's get this going. And everybody started laughing. I was like, come on, bro, it's $5. And then he was like, you know what, we'll do this later. Because it throws people off. I remember one time I'm doing a show and the girl at the front was like in her phone all like, the whole show, and everybody around me is laughing and she's using her phone. I had to stop. I just looked at her. I said, hey, so you gonna just be in your phone all night? And everybody started laughing. Everybody started laughing. I was like, yo, you gotta use your phone all night. So you paid your money to use your phone. Because these front seats are the most expensive one here. And I never give away any free. So you just pay your money to just use your phone.
Hey, Wouter hier. Elektra Podcast is er om te delen. Dus deel hem zo vaak en zoveel je wil. De meeste mensen leren namelijk nieuwe podcasts kennen... via hun vrienden, familie of bekenden. Dus vertel erover op social media, plaats een linkje of, ook leuk, volg Elektra op TikTok of op Instagram en deel de fragmenten.
And it's crazy. And I see a guy using his phone once and I was like, yeah, bro. I said to him, I understand, bro. Your girl wait chose the worst time to piss you off because I can tell you're pissed off because he was in his phone texting like this. I was like, yo, I know she waited. It was a bad time for her to piss you off, but it's okay. you can step outside. So it's all about watching the rooms. That's the beauty about comedy clubs. With theaters, you can't really see much, you know? And if somebody's gonna heckle in a theater, they're way at the back. Clubs, it's intimate. So it's like you and everybody is like right here.
That's what I love about clubs. The two you're doing in Holland, Comedy Café and Club Haug, they're both great because they're really small. Everyone's right up to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very nice.
That makes it fun when when everybody is like close. That makes everything fun.
Do you get nervous for the like really big shows?
I think I get nervous for every show. Honestly, I get nervous for every show. The really big shows. The thing is, most of the times, the really big shows, like when I'm doing a theater, the people are coming to see me. And I mm-hmm. always try to make sure I get as much comedy club shows out because the comedy club shows is where you like build the material for the big show.
Yeah.
So I'm nervous in every room. I just realized that how you perform in a theater is not how you perform in a comedy club. Because a comedy club, the stage might not be as big. I can run from one side to the next in a theater. And then do theatrics. I can do a lot more in a theater than a comedy club. In a comedy club, I'm just like, I'm right here and I can't move. And I have to work this little space here. And that's when you get to see expressions. One of my biggest shocks with theaters and comedy clubs is when I'm doing comedy clubs and I get to... A lot of the jokes that I get to make, I can use facial expressions.
Yeah.
Because they're so close. They're seeing your face. They're seeing all the emotions that you have. When you're doing a theater, if there's not a screen and you're making a joke that is supposed to involve your face, if I'm in seat K60K, I don't know what you're doing with your face. So I'm not going to laugh.
Yeah.
So it's
how do you,
just...
How do you work around that? Because there's not always going to be a screen, is there?
I just try to have enough material that I'm like, this works in a comedy club. How do I get this to work on a stage? Or I try to do a different joke. That's why it's good to have that. It's good to have... a lot of small shows, especially in small shows with rooms that people are like unfamiliar with you. So that's why I love to like, you say, go to the Netherlands and to like, to Brussels and those, I like to go out of my comfort zone where I'm not expecting to come see 500-600 people. I want to see that 100 to 50. I mean, I pray it sells out. But these are the rooms where you learn stuff.
Exactly,
you learn stuff in rooms where people are unfamiliar with you.
Have people warned you for the Dutch crowds?
No, I haven't. I have no idea what I'm going to.
Okay. Because there's a comedian called Steve Hughes. He's from Australia. He performs in the UK. He has an entire bit on it because he used to perform in Holland quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, the Dutch, oh, they'll stare at you and make a grown man cry. Because we will really love the show and applaud at the end. but we're not as loud as other crowds can be.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be that yeah. But just be aware that we might be quiet, but still be enjoying it. And I've heard so many international comedians either on stage go, oh, this joke really usually does a lot better. Uh-huh. That's not that the joke is not doing well. It's just us going, okay, tell us your story, Mr. Funny Man. We're anxious to find out how it ends.
Yeah, and I think that is the beauty about performing on multiple different stages, because you never know. A lot of the times, the shows that I don't expect to be like the best or the greatest, those are the ones that I end up loving, because I'm like, oh, this is a different energy, this is a different crowd. And that's why I like intimate, especially rooms where the people are like right here. Now I'm like, let me figure out how to get this to work. Especially work, yeah. Because I'm doing an hour, and not, I worry about that more when I'm doing like 10 minutes. Because I'm like, if they sit like this for 10 minutes.
Yeah, with their arms crossed.
I only have 10 minutes to change their mind. If it's an hour, if nobody's laughing, I'm still doing my hour. It's now I get the chance to sit and not sit, but like ask, like figure out, like, yo, you know, what's different around here? This is different. Oh, I can be like, oh, so this is what the Dutch was telling me about. This is what they, so what they say about the Dutch is true. You know, because people love hearing about themselves.
And hopefully they're going to prove me wrong and be loud from the start.
And hopefully I come there and I change that stereotype, you know, get it out of them.
Exactly. What have been shows, because you said the shows you do where you arrive and think, oh, this might be a tough show, or this might going to be a tough crowd. What are shows that you've done where you either showed up and thought this might be tough, or what are red flags for you if you walk into a room thinking, okay, it's this kind of room or this kind of crowd?
Oh, this is supposed to be better, but it's not as, you know, I would say, so Los Angeles. So I live in Los Angeles, and I tour all over America doing stand-up. And
what I think spontaneously when you say Los Angeles, I think, oh, it's sunny, it's beautiful people, it's nice, it's happy, it should be good fun.
I live there, it's sunny, it's beautiful, it's everything. But I feel like everything in LA is an audition. So you could be funny, but the people are like, ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. It's different. You're not going to get nobody falling out and ha, or that's just not the people from LA. When you go to New York, it's way different. The UK, people in UK, they laugh. They're talkative. Not in LA. LA, it's like, I'm too cool. Everybody is like, all right, you know, we've seen Kevin Hart, we've seen Dave Chappelle. What do you have for us? So that's how it is.
You are so prepared for the Dutch, because this is exactly what we do.
that means I'm prepared then, because.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a different type. It's like they're sitting and they're just like not engaged. Unless you be interesting. But the beauty is, I'm Jamaican, and I know the Dutch love Jamaican music. The Dutch love Bob Marley. I have dreads, you know. I might just bring a guitar and turn it into a performance, you know, just to be safe.
There's two countries around the world known for weed that are probably just Jamaica and Holland. So
exactly,
there's that connection as well.
And then that is where relatability comes from. That is where I know can dive into the culture of, you know, the Netherlands and Holland and relate it. Because I look at PSV, you know, there's always this, there's always the Bob Marley and the smoking. So as a Jamaican, I know they would like that. They were like, oh, wait, a Jamaican stand-up comedian. Wow, this is cool. I would want to see this.
And especially, and you know what the crowd from Ajax, the football club in Amsterdam, sings on the stages? It's Three Little Birds by Bob Marley.
Yeah.
It's their anthem.
So me going there, knowing that, you know, it's a festival country. You guys go to a lot of like reggae fest. And so it's just for me to understand the crowd, what they like, and just bring that to them. So I am excited for that because I've never been there before. So it makes
it's
even
better. It's going to be great. I'm sure of that. I have one last question because then the recording time runs out and you have places to go as well. I saw a clip from you in an interview where you said, I come from a place where you have to laugh off pain every now and again. Is there a show that you remember where you walked off stage or went home and thought, I really have to laugh off this pain? This was a tough one.
So this one was rough. Not necessarily. If I'm going to be honest, majority of the shows that I do, I'm generally like a confident person. So I haven't had that show. When I come off a show that I don't feel like is at its best, I'm like, all right, me next time. That's how I look at it.
Okay, good.
I'm like, it's just the Jamaican way. You know, Bob Marley said, don't worry about a thing. Everything I got, all right. So he's like, well, okay. Moving on, figure it out. You know, so it's just, I think it's just a Jamaican way.
Okay, good. Well, that's a great way to go about it because otherwise no one would ever make it to being a professional comedian.
That's true. This is one of the toughest professions. And I commend the level of confidence you have to be a stand-up comedian is insane.
Exactly. Well, thanks a lot. And I hope you have a great time in Amsterdam and Rotterdam and Brussels and all the other shows because you're doing an entire world tour.
Yep. I'm in the UK. I'm going back to the US. I'm doing Canada. It should be fun. So I'm very excited to visit the Netherlands, though. I've heard so much about it, especially with football and stuff. I can't wait to hear about weed. I'm very interested in visiting Amsterdam.
Gotta be
great. Want to see, like, yeah.
Go on.
Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your time. See you next time.
Have a good one.
Dat was hem, de Elektra Podcast. Ik hoop dat je het leuk vond. Als je luistert via een app waarin je sterren en dat soort dingen kan geven, doe dat dan vooral. Informatie en linkjes over mijn gast vind je in de omschrijving van deze aflevering. Luister je graag naar dit soort gesprekken? Abonneer dan in de podcast-app waar je nu luistert. Wil je me helpen bij het maken van Elektra Podcast? Ga dan naar elektrapodcast.nl en doe daar een donatie of word crewmember. Op elektrapodcast.nl kan je ook gratis lid worden van mijn nieuwsbrief. Oké, tot de volgende Elektra. Hoi!